Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring. into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years and I'll restore health and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now today. Come on, give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Jehoshua. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, brother. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, brother L.V. Safada. Amen, brother. Amen. Shalom. So everyone in the chat room, everyone at home, everyone through their computer, thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. So you see the name of the title of the program, After the Rapture Revelation. Amen. The pastor. And I tell you, praise you, Lord. Lord, hallelujah. They took me to the great revelation this morning. Hallelujah. I will share what I experienced there, my brother and sister. But the great news was that I was told there that I've been raptured. And that, oh man, that gave me such a joy to know that the people that stay behind, some of the people recognize me and say, you were raptured with the church. You went home. Elvie, what are you doing back here again? My Lord, my God. So that gave me joy. That gave me joy. Also knowing the rapture is not far off. It's close. It's soon. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Jesus, as he promised us, he is taking us home, my brother and sister. Amen. He is coming back for us. And that is exciting to know that he made a promise to us that where he is, we will also be in John 14. My brother and my sister, amen. And when you hear what I experienced there, talking with the people, dear my brother and sister, hallelujah. We are so close to be going home, my brother and sister, but the event that followed after the rapture is the shaking part. I'm going to tell you how America looked after the rapture. It didn't look pretty over here. My brother, my sisters, I'm telling you, hallelujah, we are living in the end of the end, and I like I said, there's no time left. Whatever time is left, it's so little. It's just so little. My brother and sister, amen. But it's good to know we barely have any time. Amen. The parable of Matthew 22, where Jesus share this parable with the disciple, my brother and sister, and with the people. And this parable is about us, the bride of Christ, because it's about the wedding of Jesus, where you and I have been invited to. The Lord has sent his messenger into the world to tell us about this wedding. Well, Father did. The parable began where Jesus answered and spoke unto them in a parable and said, again, a parable is an illustration. While we read it, you have to imagine what's going to happen. And it's in imagination, the rapture, departure of the bride of Christ. I believe it's in the imagination of every true believer who is believing they're going home. My brother and sister, it is exciting. So this illustration says that the kingdom of heaven is like, my brother and sister, he is presenting us with an illustration for us to think about every day before we go home, how the kingdom of heaven is like in this illustration, my brothers and sisters. Unto a certain king, my brothers and sisters, which is King Jesus, we know, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. And Father had prepared the celebration for his Son and for his sons and daughters, the bride of Christ, my brother and sister, who made a marriage for his Son. So all the preparation in heaven for the bride of Christ, for Jesus and the bride of Christ, been in the Father's heart for a long time. My brother and sister, now in the last days, he's making this come to pass. Hallelujah. Verse 3, he sent forth his servant to call them that were invited to the wedding. Notice that God had in his heart to choose people, elect and select the people, as Jesus said, to be sent as messenger to announce the day of the wedding of Jesus. Or the wedding of Jesus. Not the day, but the wedding. Yes, it's the great day of the Lord. So, of course, it's an important day, the day of the wedding. But the elected selected that are you and I, God has selected in Christ, according to Paul to the Ephesians, before the foundation of this earth. This is no coincidence. There's no coincidence in God. And there's no coincidence the people that he had chosen for the last days, my brother and my sister. And they will not come. As he sent the messenger, many are called, few are chosen. God chooses the few to send a messenger to the many, to come to the wedding. That means God is giving everyone the opportunity to get ready, to be in daily repenting, fasting weekly, seeking the presence of God and the word, trusting, believing God, wanting to go home more than anything, my brother and sister. Amen. Praise you, Lord. But the multitude that the few he sent would not come. God know ahead of everything that when he had chosen his selected one, he was sent to all the multitude of the world, the billions of people that are in the world today, to tell them about the rapture, departure of the bride of Christ. And they will say, oh, please, leave me alone. They will not come. God knew they will not come. But it doesn't change his plan for you and I. It doesn't change the celebration that he has ready for you and I. The other day, he's given me a dream, I remember. I was wondering about the rapture, how close we are. And in the dream, I saw my brothers and sisters who went into the weddings of the Lamb, and I saw myself going in too, and full of joy. And the Lord showed me, yes, you're going to make it, my son. Father God and the Lord have promised me that they will take me home. I remember years ago. I don't trust myself or anybody else but only God. As Father God only trusts his Son and his Holy Spirit, not even his angel, and no man anywhere. He doesn't trust any man anywhere, not even his angel. He only trusts his Son and his Holy Spirit. He had not even told his Son the day of the rapture, my brother and sister. Father God demands, and he demands holiness and righteousness from you and I. He says in his word that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. But the Lord is his Son. No one will see his Son without holiness, he says, my brother and sister. Well, the day that God spoke to Moses in Exodus 28, God came and spoke to Moses and told Moses, I want you to pick Aaron. Pick Aaron and his son to be my priest, my holy priest. Excuse me. Then they said, take thou unto thee Aaron and thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. My brother and sister, he says, even Aaron, when Nadu, Abihu, Eleazar, Itamar, Aaron's sons, and thou to make a holy garment unto thy brethren for the glory and for the beauty. God is very specific with Moses. The garment you are going to make for Aaron and his son, of course, they need to be beautiful. But the different details of the garment, talk about the holiness of the Lord, that they will have to be different than the garment that the children of Israel wear every day, my brother and sister. The garment, God told them a specific detail on how they ought to be for the working of the office of the priest, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Remember that the Apostle Peter said that we are priests unto the Lord. We've been chosen to be a priest, as John in Revelation 1, to be a priest unto the Lord. Like Aaron and his son were being chosen to be priests unto the office of God, so God has chosen you and I to be a priest unto the Lord, my brother and sister. So our garment, our dress, I'm going to read it to you later, are completely different than how people in the world dress. Because he said that you should not show your nakedness, my brother and sister. Nakedness in the Bible is a type of sin, my brother and sister. That we should have no sin. Well, that's the meaning of holiness. The word holy, hallelujah, means separated. Separated from what? From the sins of this world. From the sinful things of the world. Anything that will make you and I sin, God says that he wants us separated, apart. Having no part in sin, having no part in evil. Evil speaking is the word of the evil one. We are to not have in our lips whatever how the devil speaks, blaspheming unto God, because he blasphemes everything of God. It should not be in our lips. Why is it in the last day in the mouth of many Christians on television? As they speak evil, they repeat the word of the evil one through their mouth. No, my brothers and sisters. Holiness means separation, that we have no part in speaking evil or speaking the word of the evil one, my brother and sister. It's a total separation that we have to have for the Lord, unto the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Matthew 22:4. And again he sent for the servants, saying, tell them that are abiding, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatting are killed, and other things are ready. Come unto the marriage. This indicates that God, when the day will come, he will have everything ready for his children. Nothing is missing for the wedding. Nothing is missing for the wedding celebration, my brother and sister. All the food that you and I have to eat are ready. The tables are ready. The pot, the plate, the forks, the knife, they are ready on the table for you and I. One of the last revelations the Lord showed our sister was that he saw an angel, hallelujah, with a shofar in his mouth. And Father called his son and said, my son, stand before me. And Jesus stood before him. Hallelujah. I am ready to give the order to bring my children home. The angel had the trumpet ordered by God in his mouth, standing before the throne, ready to sound the trumpet for people to disappear. My brother and sister. Last night, as the Lord took me to the great tribulation, he put me in this parking place, my brother and sister. It looks like it was a parking with 3 or 4 levels. But the place looked kind of damaged. And it was damaged because the earth has been shaking violently, like a drunken, as the word of God says, my brother and my sister. The Lord had brought me into the earth again during the great tribulation, because this has been a plan of the Lord for a long time. And he wants to get me out of the wedding, my brother and sister. He wants me to put down my cup, my plate, my spoon, my fork. And he wants me to come down to the great tribulation. He wants me to stop dancing out there and rejoicing and eating the fruit of heaven and stop it for a few and come down and come and be a witness. Because the work he's going to have me do, he explained to me the other day, since you have spoken my word and people know you, as my word you have spoken, you are a witness to them at the word that I have given you to speak of my revelation, he says. This time I come into the parking lot. I was like coming into the first level of the parking. And immediately there were people there that recognized me. Elvis Zapata, you were speaking through the Lord's Tower, Elvis Zapata. We know you. We recognize you, Elvis Zapata. What are you doing here? Don't you see what was happening? That what you have said from the Lord has come to pass? Don't you see how our country looked now? In our country, by this time, I got like an airplane view. I can see the most of the home crack. The wall, the support of the home were damaged, my brothers and sisters. Most of the building has been destroyed. There was not much left. I saw people looking for food going hungry, my brother and sister. It was so difficult. Life was so difficult. But he began to tell me how now they will not allow anyone who claimed to be Christian to preach anymore. That was not allowed. And people have, by this time, have not seen preacher anymore because the preacher has been persecuted. The government, the FBI, declare that any Christian, any evangelical, any preacher that are known on television, that have been speaking the Bible, that have been speaking the truth, they have been made the FBI most wanted. And they say your name is on the list, excuse me, because you've been preaching on the Lord Tower in your audio, and your message has been online, and your name has been added to the FBI most wanted, Elvis Zapata. And they're looking for you. Excuse me, if they know you're here, they're going to arrest you, and they're going to kill you. The Bible is not allowed anymore. No Christians, since the rapture has been gone, months after that has been declared by the government, no Christian is allowed to preach the word of God anymore. And if anyone is caught preaching the word of God, they've been arrested and they've been killed. My brother and sister, to me, this information they're giving me, it was stunning. Because I'm standing there listening to these people. I'm also watching out for myself. Now I'm like in a glorified body. I can move because before the bride went home, we got a glorified body like angels. Now we can move. We have the revival also. We were preaching around the earth. We were preaching to these people until the revival ended. It was short, and we went home. And these people had all that knowledge that the bride of Christ was here, that the rapture had happened, that all these events had happened. But this, it's been months and years since this happened now, my brothers and sisters. It's been months and years since the FBI, the government, whatever's left for the government, had declared the FBI most wanted. And any other Christian that stay behind and not go home in the rapture that's been preaching the word of God on the earth has been arrested and has been killed, my brothers and sisters. So basically, by this time, there's not any more preacher. And if any preacher, woman or sister, is hiding in a cave somewhere, is hiding in a mountain, my brother and sister, like Bigfoot, that cannot be found, my brother and sister. They're hiding like Bigfoot. They're nowhere to be found. They don't know where they are at this point because they have sent everything looking for them. The government has sent the soldier looking for them, and they have not found them. So by this time, they believe there's no Christian left because they have killed all of them that they know, and they don't know if anybody is up there anymore. My brother, do you know now what the Lord has put me in last night? Do you see the earth that where Jesus has brought me back to? My brother and sister, I for a minute, it's like, what am I doing here then, Lord? Because these people don't want to hear what I have to say. But there was someone that the Lord has sent me back after this year onto the earth. But before I met this person, I needed to see all these buildings destroyed. Still me being there, the earth was still shaking. The United States was still shaking. There was not a single building. There was a large apartment building that was standing. Most of them have been destroyed, and whatever is left of them, it is not much. Even this parking lot that is made of steel and cement, my brother and sister, all the material that they had, it was like heavy duty for these to be able to bring in this cart and these things. And it was like a four-floor building, and still was cracked, was damaged. Some of the floor had caved in on top of the other floor because of the shaking. And while I was still there, the building, the place was still shaking. But I'm still listening to these few people that are there, my brother and sister. And they say, what are you doing here, Mr. Zapata? Because we are going to grab you, and we're going to give you unto the government whatever's left, and they're going to kill you. Because we don't want people like you. We don't want priests anymore on the earth. We have killed them. We have removed them. And you're not allowed to be here anymore. I don't know what are you doing here. How did you got here? But we're coming after you. And now, my brother and sister, I'm running for my life in that building. The only thing I was able to move like angels. So I was moving around car quickly. I was moving up a floor down and up quickly, faster than they can even move, my brother and sister. I'm moving like angel in the street of thought, here and there, excuse me, and they're trying to catch up to me, but they could not. They could not. But I was wondering, Lord, what is it that, what am I doing here? What am I doing back here again? We're not wanted anymore, Lord. But the Lord was letting me know that there was someone there I needed to speak to. Then as I'm moving around, as I made believe to the multitude that I'm going out there quickly, I was going out there. They were all chasing me to try to catch me. And I moved back down to the first floor quickly. And I knew they were having a tough time to move to the floor, my brother and sister, because how the damage the building was. I come across this young man in his 20s. And I began to look at him. He had a light that it was different than them. Most of the people were dark and gray. This young man had a light in him. And he says, Elvie, I believe you are God's messenger. And when you were on the Lord Tower radio program, you were preaching the message of the Lord. And we believe who you are. And you've been a great blessing to my life, he says. God has used you to speak to my life. And using the message of the Lord that you've been giving, I've been using it to be unrepenting, and it's been helping me to come closer to the Lord, to keep the Lord. Since the bride of Christ went out of the earth, since the bride of Christ disappeared, Elvie, I knew I was not ready. But I began to call upon the Lord and ask the Lord to keep me and protect me and deliver me. And you don't believe the situation I have found myself, which I do believe. But he said, in the different situation I found myself, he says, I've been in dangerous of building and houses falling all over me. But I've been praying to the Lord, and the Lord has delivered me from these buildings, these places falling upon my life, killing me, Elvie. The Lord has delivered me one way or another. I've been able to escape when other people have been killed or the building has come on top of them. I've been able to escape, and it's been the Lord, Elvie. And I know God is real. And I know God has a plan, he says, for my life. And I say, yes, you are the one that the Lord sent me back for. You are the one that I have to speak to. And I'll tell you now, continue to repent. Even though you're running, you're scared, these things are happening to you, continue to repent. Continue to seek the Lord with all your heart. No matter what you see, no matter what you encounter, continue to repent, I was saying to him. Continue to seek the Lord. Don't focus on what's happening, on the negative, on the evil. Focus on praying to the Lord. Forget about what all these people are looking for. Because the Lord will take care. The Lord will provide to you. The Lord will be there for you. As you know, he has been there so far. Continue to call upon the name of the Lord. And he was agreeing. He said, oh, thank you. I needed to hear the word. Thank you. I needed to hear. This is an encouragement to me because I felt so lonely since the church has been gone. And so they have arrested and killed all the Christians that we know here in the city. And you see how damaged and destroyed the city is. This looks like there's no hope, Elvie. And I've been feeling so lonely, hiding by myself most of the time. And I said, continue to pray. They call upon the Lord. The Lord would help you. The Lord would deliver you. But then about these other people, my brother and sister, hallelujah. As the Lord says, he sent his messenger a second time to tell them that his family were killed and all the things were already come unto the wedding, but they made light of it and went their way, one to his fireman, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servant and treated them spitefully and slew them. Hallelujah. But when the king heard thereof, he was wrath. How angry God is of these people that stay behind. That instead of calling upon the name of the Lord, they get angry. They want to get a hold of Christian, anyone preaching now, and grab them, arrest them, and kill them. My brother and sister, treat them like criminal just for preaching the word. By this time, the Bible were all burned. There was no Bible. This young man, he was going by what he could remember, my brother and sister, by the preaching, by the message that he could remember from this time is what he's going by. They don't have the Bible anymore. The Bible is forbidden. Anyone having a Bible will be arrested and killed. It's been the law of the land that nobody's to have to have a Bible. And they had gone into everyone's home, taking the Bible out and burned them. My brother and sister, it is a tremendous difficult time for anyone. Shalom, Brother Miguel. So people need to remember this, my brother and sister, that this is coming, Shalom Sister Luna, right after the rapture. It's coming, my brother and sister, where they are going to burn the Bible. They're going to arrest anyone who will preach the gospel and be treated as a criminal and be killed, my brother and sister. It's going to be terrible on the earth. That's why when the Lord said, this is the time to repent, this is the day to seek the Lord, this is the day to commit your life to the Lord, don't waste time. Because there's no time left to be wasted, my brother and sister. It's difficult. It will be more difficult. And when the king heard that, well, he was rough. He was angry. And he sent forth his army, his angel, and destroyed those murderers and burned the city. This is what I'm seeing. City burned. City destroyed. Okay? City destroyed is what I'm looking at, my brother and sister. Just as the word of God says, that he will burn the city. He will destroy the city. That this city will be no more. No more New York. No more San Francisco or Vegas or Chicago or any or London or any other city, my brother and sister. They all burn. They all destroy. People are living with the last of the last, leftover. And it's not enough for them to eat. People are skinny, hungry, naked. Because of people changing to beasts, they tear their clothing. And there will not be enough clothing for them, my brother and sister. There will not be enough clothing on the earth for all these people that are naked. They are naked, afraid, hungry. They have tear their roof, their bed, their everything they have. So there's not much left place for them to live. Their homes are destroyed. Still while the earth was still shaking, my brother and sister. There was like a 7.1 earthquake going on. Most of all the time, I was meditating about this earthquake while I was there, because I was thinking this is like a 7.1, 7.0 earthquake, and it's still going on. They confirmed to me that this after the rapture, since the earth, that since a big earthquake on the earth, and the earth kept shaking, it had never stopped shaking. 7 and up, my brothers and sisters, of the earthquake every day of the day, my brothers and sisters, every hour of the day. The earth is shaking like a drunken, and people are scared because there's no secure place anymore, my brother and sister. And this is not just in the United States. The Lord showed me mostly here because it's here. This is mostly in the world because the earth is shaking like a drunken, my brother and sister. No place on the earth will be secure. That's why the Lord wants people to be repenting their sins, humbling themselves, seeking him more than anything now. My brother and sister, to be going home in the rapture, because whoever stay behind will live in everyday nightmare. It's an everyday nightmare. I don't know if you've been in a nightmare where you wanted to wake up but you couldn't, and it was so bad. You were so scared and so nervous. Well, that's the earth in the days to come after the rapture, my brother and sister. They said to his servant, the wedding is ready, but they that were invited were not worthy. Go therefore unto the highway, as many as ye shall find, bid them to the wedding, invite them to the wedding, the Lord says. My brother and sister, invite anyone. Because the important thing is that, hallelujah, God has his arm open for everyone. And he's willing to save anyone who is willing to repent. But he's not going to force anyone. He's calling people to repent. He's calling people to get ready. My brother and sister. But what was exciting to me? Was exciting to me that I'm coming down from the heaven celebration. I'm coming down from the wedding celebration to the earth. I'm coming down from the presence of God. I left my brothers and sisters up there. And this trip, I'm coming by myself. And I'm in front of the multitude upon the earth of people that even knew me. Your Elvie from the Lord's Tower. We have heard your message. And I don't know what you're doing here, but you're going to be arrested, some of the people are saying. People across me, 30-plus people were there in that first floor, accusing me, ready to grab me, ready to arrest me, ready to kill me, my brother and sister. You are in the list of the FBI most wanted, Elvis Zapata, because you were the preacher that was preaching. Yes, what you preached have come to pass. We are witness of that ourselves, a woman said to me, my brother and sister. So if I'm giving them the word of God and it had come to pass 100% during the Great Tribulation, Why are you seeking to arrest me and throw me in jail and kill me, my brother and sister? Because they want to have the system of the Antichrist, the system of the men of sin. They want to live in that type of life, in that type of earth, in that type of life, my brother and sister, that is horrible. Shalom, this is my wrath. It's terrible, my brother and sister. Terrible, terrible. Verse 10. But those servants went out into the highway, gathered all together as many as they found, both bad and good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the wedding was furnished with guests. My brother and sister, God has invited everyone to come to the wedding. It doesn't matter the condition. It doesn't matter who it is. He's welcoming anyone to come to him, repent, seek him with all of their heart, not lean on their own understanding. My brother and sister, and be willing to be going home with him. He is willing to help out anyone right now. He just wants people to cry out to him. Cry out to him. Hallelujah. He will help them. My brother and sister, when the king came to see the guests, he saw that there was a man that did not have a wedding garment. Get wedding garment talks about repentance, my brother and sister. Like I told this young man in the Great Tribulation this morning, that he needed to be a repentance, and he agreed with me on that. The only thing is so difficult and so hard in the Great Tribulation, because how can you be, you're running for your life, you're running from beasts and monsters, you're running for all kinds of creatures that will be released upon the earth. Man, so many people have turned into werewolves and beasts and so much. And they're looking for meat to eat. And so you're hiding. This is why people are in those buildings, those apartments. They are miserable. They're angry. My brother and sister, they're talking to me about the government. What government? There's basically nothing left, and they agree with that. There's basically no government left. Just a list that they know after the church is gone, a man and woman that were preaching the Bible, that they put them in the FBI more wanted. More terrible for them, my brother and sister. More terrible for them. Because all those people that practice all these things should be repenting, should be seeking God, but they're turning against God's people. More worse will be for them, my brother and sister. And he said unto him, friend, how came thou hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless, my brother and sister. This is how people who will have an encounter with Jesus will be speechless. Because everything we've been preached out of the Word of God, Jesus is the spirit of the prophecy. Every single word in the Bible is Jesus. When they meet Jesus, they meet the Word of God that they have rejected for years. Every time a preacher or someone preached the Word of God and they rejected that preacher, they ignore the preacher. They said in their heart they didn't want to listen to that preacher anymore. They're going to remember that very second when they see Jesus, that he is the word that those preachers were preaching. And they will be stunned. They will be, as the word of God says, speechless, without any word, without any excuse, my brother and sister, because they will see the word incarnated right before their eyes. They'll see that he is God, that he is God Almighty, that everyone answered to him. And the Father said he will be the judge of the living and the dead. And he is going to judge them in the days to come, my brother and sister. When they see that the one who's going to judge them was the one they rejected. They say, I don't want to hear, I don't want to listen, I don't have time. Then they meet him face to face. They're going to say, I didn't have time for him. I don't want to hear him. My Lord, my God. It's coming. It is coming, my brother and sister. Verse 13. They said that the king to the servant, buy him, hand him food, take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be a whipping and gnashing of teeth. Now he's ordering his angel. Notice how the angel don't question him like many people on the earth are questioning God. And he gives him an order, and they immediately follow his order. And they go and grab this person. They begin to tie a chain around this person, ready to throw them into the outer darkness, into the worst part of hell. My brother and sister, there are places in hell where in order for you to throw someone in hell, you have to bind their feet and hands and throw them in that lake. It's like a lake of fire where they want to come out because the fire is so intense, it's so painful. They don't want to be there. Well, these people are being thrown in that worst part where they have to bind your feet and hands because you want to run out of there. You want to grab whatever you can grab and get out of there. But if your hands and feet are bound, you cannot get out of there because the chains will not melt with the fire. They will be in the middle of the fire, lava, burning, wanting to get out. But it's in order by God that they be bound there and they cannot get out. My brother and sister, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hand of a living God. For many are called and few are chosen. Hallelujah. This is what is coming, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. It's coming to be, hallelujah, where they're going to be bound and they cannot escape. My brother and sister, they cannot escape. The word of God is the truth that in Matthew 25, the Bible said that while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and that they that were ready went in to be into the marriage, and the door was shut. When Noah and his family entered the ark, my brother and sister, they cannot stretch a hand and save anybody else, because Father God had closed the door. God is going to close the door, and there will be no way out in to anyone, my brother and sister. Those that are in will stay in. Those that need to go in while it's open, they will go in. But then once they're in, the door is shut, my brother and sister. Now, what happened when the door is shut? Then now people will have to be beheaded. It's the only way they can be saved. That's in the book of Revelation. And afterward also came the virgin. After the door was shut, listen to this, because this is a testimony from the word of God, not from Elvis Zapata, but this is from the word of God. What happened, Brother Elvis, when the door is shut, when the bride goes in? What happened after the rapture? What happened? Afterward came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. That is a fair prayer. That is a fair repentant prayer before God, my brother and sister. They're calling unto the Lord like someone who wants to change their life, someone who wants to come in, someone who wants to go home in the rapture. But what happened? What happened after the door is shut? What happened after the bride is gone to be beheaded? They don't want to stay behind in the great tribulation. They don't want to suffer for 7 years. It's not up to them now. It's not up to them, my brother and sister. And he answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, truly and truly I say unto you, I knew you not. You cannot come into my wedding because you did not walk with me. You were not in repenting of your sin. You were not in personal relationship with me. Because he said, if I knew you not, that means that's personal relationship. These people never took time to repent, never took time to pray, to be in the Word, to get to know the Lord. They didn't got to get to know the Lord. Once you get to know the Lord, once you seek to know the Lord, he revealed to him, to yourself, my brother and sister. This is how the Lord works. When you seek him, you will find him. When you call unto him, he will answer you. He says, ask and thou shalt receive, my brother and sister. So when you seek Jesus, when you seek personal relationship with him, he then chooses to reveal himself to you. And this is how you know him, my brother and sister. You know him, and he knows you in personal relationship, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. So when he said, I knew you not, we were not in love as we should have. Because when a man knows a woman, that means they're in love, my brother and sister, relationship. So when the Lord said, I knew you not, you were not in love with me. You were not in love with me. Even though I love you, but you did not love me back. You cannot come in and be with me. Because how can a man marry a woman who doesn't love him? And if he does, they will be miserable. There's no relationship where there's no love. And the Lord is saying, you are not in love with me, so you cannot come in into my wedding to be married with me because you were not in love. There was not a love back and forward, my brother and sister. So there's no way that person can go in. Verse 13, watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man coming. This is all about the Son of Man. This is all about him. This is all about Jesus. Our personal relationship with him is what it's about. Is not many people have missed that. They think it's about this old hut, and they miss the personal relationship. They're not in love with Jesus because they're not spending the time with him, my brother and sister. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servant and delivered unto him his good. Praise the Lord. And unto one he gave 5 talents, unto another 1, 2, unto another 1. to everyone according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey, my brothers and sisters. So God knows the ability of each and one of us. So when we come to him and we say, Lord, use me. Lord, I want to work for you. There's no surprising if you are in a relationship with the Lord and where you are with him. He knows your ability. He knows what you're able to do. That's why a lot of people cry and say, you know, I wish I was doing this, I was doing that. And they don't understand this, that the reason why they're not doing this or that is because that's not their ability. God has not worked in them that ability because he had not called them to do that. My brother and sister, usually when the Lord has called you to do something, you by right now before the rapture, you will be doing so. Because blessed is he that when the Lord comes and will find him doing so. That means you will be doing so when he comes, what he wants you to be doing, my brother and sisters. Then he that received the 5 talents went and trade with the same and made another 5 talents. Notice how this brother, this sister, went with the 5 talents the Lord has given them, went and multiplied the talents. God has given them the 5 fruit of the Spirit, the 5 gifts of the Spirit, the 5 ministry. This is talking about ministry. The 5 ministry, my brother and sister. In this person, then I said, well, I'm an apostle. I have the 5 ministry. You know, I'll send other people to do it. No. The heart of working evangelist, pastor, minister, and prophet was the Apostle Paul. Out of all the apostles, then the Apostle John, the Apostle Peter, they all work in the 5 gifting that God has given them. And they went and they multiplied the talent, my brother and sister. That's what ministry is about. Whatever God has put in you to work with it, my brother and sister. Don't complain. Just ask the Lord to give you wisdom on what he has given you in order for you to work for him. But don't complain on what you have. Thank you, Lord. Verse 17. And likewise, he that had 2, hallelujah, that have received 2, he also gained another 2. Praise your Lord. He went, God has given him 2. He probably was a pastor and evangelist or a prophet and evangelist. And he went and used his talent for the Lord. Used his gifting for the Lord, my brother and sister, to lead other people to Christ. Because here's the thing, if you are an evangelist, you lead other people to Christ, others can become an evangelist or can become a prophet, can become a pastor. You don't know what it is, but you still are multiplying the gift that God has given you. Remember, all the men that through Moses, from the spirit of Moses, they were gifted to work with Moses. It's similar to that, my brother and sister. If Moses blessed 200, you can bless 1,000 or more. It doesn't matter how it is. Verse 18. But he has received 1, went and dug on the earth, and his is Lord money. My brother and sister, this man, hallelujah, saved by grace, hallelujah, he only had 1 gift, and it could be the gift of tongue, I'll give you an example, to prophesy. Then he should have used that gift to intercede for other people. He did not have the calling to be an evangelist, a pastor, a prophet. And none of those things like the other men. But then he could have been an intercessor. He could have been in his house praying for people, interceding for souls to be enslaved. My brother and sister, you don't need to be on radio, on television, and being watched by millions of people in order for you to win souls. You could have used that 1 gift that you have. And it could be a gift where you would just speak to people or intercede for people. And just pray for them from your house. And your prayer will go out to the nations. And God, through your prayer, will save hundreds and thousands of people. Something that if you have to take a plane ticket, and go get a plane to travel all over the world, there's thousands and pollution to the air. And you go arguing with people and so much. You don't have the gift to be speaking nicely to other people. You probably can get in argument with people. You're not gifted to, you know, walking that peace with other people. But God has given you 1 gift. And if you use that gift from your house in prayer for other people, thousands and millions can be saved to your prayer. You may not be known on this earth, Because no one knows when you are in your house praying for other people. No one knows that. No one sees that. Even your family thinking you're wasting your time. But you know what? When you get to heaven, you have a crown with many stones. You will be welcoming in heaven like a great woman of God, like a great man of God, for the simple things that you did on the earth. It was just pray for people to be saved, for more to come to the kingdom, for more to know Christ. All of a sudden you come to heaven and everyone is welcome. My daughter, God says, who has done a great job for me. And everybody's looking. Her? Yes, her. She did a mighty work for me. She did a mighty work for me. And you may say, but God, she only was on the earth praying. We never saw her on television or radio. Yes, my son. And she did more work than you and many others. Huh? So you better be quiet. Praise your Lord. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. We need to stop judging people because they're not on television, radio, internationally, known by everyone. You don't need to be known by anyone. You need to be known by God. That you're being obedient and that you're doing what God wants you to do. You are obeying the calling of the Lord in your life. And every day people see you small in the kingdom of heaven, you will be called great, my brother and my sister. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For a long time, the Lord, hallelujah, those servants came and reckoned him with them. So that he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast faithfully over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. This is how heaven is like. Heaven is like that when the Lord receives you, whatever you've done for him, however you walk with him, he welcomes you and he tells you, well done, my servant. And you will be thanked by him for the things you have done. I told you that for 2 or 3 occasions, Jesus had thanked me for helping other people. And I said, I'm like, Lord, you don't have to thank me. But he says, thank you for doing that for me. Because everything you do for other people, you're doing it for the Lord. It's unto the Lord. Every time you help someone, my brother and sister, and many people that need help, that is something that this earth until is destroyed, will not have lack of people needing help. Every day there are people that wake up every morning needing help. There are few workers. There are few workers on this earth for the Lord. The earth is full of need, but there's only but a few workers, my brother and sister. And a lot of people think that they need to be there in person when they can be there in spirit. Paul said that he's been with the brothers and sisters in spirit. How is that? When you pray, you elevate yourself to where they are, and you can meet their need through prayer. God will use you, my brother and sister. You will be with them in spirit, although you have not been there in person. And in heaven, you will be called great. I thank you, Jesus. Remember that. Praise you, Lord. Also, hallelujah. That how we see 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained other 2 talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been favored over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Notice that the one that has gained 2, that multiplied the 2, receives the same as the one that has gained 5. God doesn't judge people for their ability. Man looks at people's ability and what they can do, my brothers and sisters, and they judge them because they say, oh, this person can only do this. Sister can only sing. She can only cook. She can only take care of the babies and stuff like that. People are judged for what they can do on this earth. But God sees every gift he has given to them as something of great. And so, in the great and the little they have been faithful, in the great they will receive, enter into the joy of your Lord. This is what the bride of Christ soon is going to hear in person from Jesus when they enter heaven, my brother and sister. And it's about to happen. It's about to come. The rapture is not far enough. My brother and sister, this is something God, for months and months, has reminded me of. Even when I had asked, How many years are we going to be here? How long are we going to be here? We're not going to be here many years like many things, my brother and sister. God has a plan, and he's going to fulfill his plan. The only thing is we don't know the day and hour, though. We don't know. But the bride of Christ, we are not going to be here for the great tribulation. And many can tell you the dreams and vision, they have seen how close the great tribulation is. And it's very close. It's very close. My wife is telling me she had a dream of the great tribulation. And she said in her dream, she knew this was close. It's close. It is close, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. She saw an event that is about to happen. And she said it's close. In her dream, she knew it was close. We don't have much off, my brother and sister. So we need to continue to get ready and repent like never before. Then he had to receive one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not stretched. Here's a man that because of fear, he is accusing the Lord. My brother and sister, sounds like people today, they feel like they want to blame God for everything bad that happens. God has sent them to come and serve him and preach to other people, lead other people to Christ, and they go around talking bad about God, accusing God of all the evil in the world, of all the bad things that are happening. That's all they have time for. This man, hallelujah, he decided to bury his talent and decided to criticize God. My brother and sister, because God wants to save people that they say those people belong to the devil. Why would you preach to them, they say, my brother and sister. But God, Psalm 150, my brother and sister, let me go there and show you that God created everything, my brother and sister, that everything belongs to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everything in it. So why will someone accuse God, my brother and sister, thank you, Lord, of wanting to save people, anyone, hallelujah, my brother and sister, thank you, Lord, at least one, praise you, Yeshua, thank you, Lord, praise you, God, praise you, Yeshua. My brother and sister, to God belongs everything. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Everything on the earth is his. Please, hallelujah. Psalm 147, praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord on my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will praise it unto God while I have been. Put not your trust in prison, nor in the Son of Man. Or in Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His bread goes forward. He returns to the earth. Every day his mouth perish. Happy is he, the God of Jacob, is his help, who hopeth in the Lord God, who made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all therein, and he keepeth truth forever. So the Lord is the one who makes heaven and earth and everything in it. Absolutely everything we see. So the devil can come and confuse people, mislead people, come into the life and do so much harm to them. But still that person belongs to the Lord. It's still because the Lord made everything. Nothing can be born here without the Lord, my brother and sister. Nothing, my brother and sister. The Lord preserved the stranger, the Psalm 146:9. He released the fatherless, the widow, but the way of the wicked turned upside down. My brother and sister, the Lord shall reign forever and ever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That is so true, my brother and sister. God is to be praised. Hallelujah. 145, I will exalt thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. Greatness unsearchable. Praise the Lord, one generation to praise thy work for another and shall declare thy mighty act. Praise you, Jesus. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. And even though people are going through the worst and the great tribulation, my brother and sister, by their own choice, because people are there going through the worst, then by their own choice, because each and one of them remember that they heard about Jesus, that they heard that if they will repent, they will be able to go home in the rapture, and they will give their life unto him. They will have a totally different life and live for him. And some were in church when they were young. The family brought them to church. And still when they're older, they get to make their own choice. They get to reject God. They get to go on with their own life and be fascinated and so much more and be turned into beasts. But when they turn back to human, they can remember now that they have made the poor choices. My brother and sister, they know how difficult it is. They regret the day they listened to Biden and his vaccinations. My brother and sister, that the Foxy, they will see how loyal he was. And they will remember he was of the devil because he led all these people to be vaccinated. My brother and sister, they will remember all these things back here before the rapture and say how blind we was. How did we not see the truth through their lies? Because basically that's what that is. They're being lied from the high office in government. They're being told to take the vaccine. And they don't know the outcome of it. And now that they're learning the outcome, excuse me, now they're living under the most difficult time during the Great Tribulation. My brother and sister. But instead of them repenting, so many of them, they're so angry at God that anyone who speaks about God, they will arrest them, they will grab them, and they will kill them, they will behead them. It will be good for some Christians that are beheaded quickly because they get to be going home. But these people are not supposed to be killing. They don't care that the word of God that says, thou shalt not kill. They don't care anymore. They're living, they want to live their life. They want to go back to the prosperity they have. But it's not possible anymore because he's shaking on the earth doesn't stop. This tsunami that have pounded the earth have destroyed mostly so much and so much more. My brother and sister, and they're angry. They're angry. When people are spoiled, they get really angry, my brother and sister, because they think they deserve everything. They need to have everything. And when God had called them to repent and they had not listened, then God said, I will take the things that you love so much that have become an idol into your life. And a lot of people have not realized the money, food, their home, and their nice car has become an idol to them. Their job, their money, everything they have become an idol to them. So far into have gone into their heart that they push God out of their life because of the things they love. My brother and sister, that's an idol. That's idol worshiping. And that's the word idol worshiping. When people discern and say, I need to have food in my fridge. I need to have what I want. I need to have my iPad, my iPhone, my computer, and all this, and do what I feel like and talk to who I like it. I don't care how. When God is calling them to repenting, my brother and sister, they become the worst when they enter the Great Tribulations. Because now, instead of repenting, they turn against God and say, how can God do this to me? Didn't he not say we were his child, that he will give us everything? But you have taken God out of your life, have taken God where he needs to be first in your life. You have pushed him out for the things that you have loved. And God is calling people to repent from so much idolatry in their heart, from the material things they have today, that when they see themselves without them, they're cursing God. Like Job's wife, curse that God and die, she says to Job, because she had such a great life. All the food was there. All the servants cooked for her and cleaned the house and made sure her clothing was there. She was wealthy, wealthy, my brother and sister, like a billionaire. She had it all. And the first thing when she lost it is curse God and die, Job. That's the attitude. And many that will stay behind in America and around the world that have all the good life right now, that have all the abundance, the nice car, the great bank account, the nicest home, that chooses to go here and there. Those people, when they lose all the things that God's going to take away soon, they're going to turn angry against God Because all they remembered is all that they had that they lost. No more cell phone in the Great Tribulation. No one had a cell phone anymore. All the cell tower was down. God made sure there was no internet anymore. People were like the most miserable thing you ever saw. Because they remember having internet, chatting with the friends on Facebook, on Twitter. And now they could not anymore. They didn't have that anymore. It was taken away from them. A lot of people say life was great until the internet came. My brother and sister, they have ruined everyone's life. No one talks to one another anymore. People don't spend time anymore sitting at home, drinking a cup of coffee or a cup of juice. They don't spend time anymore like they used to. The internet has ruined everyone, and people don't see it this way. You take away the internet from them, and they're miserable. Well, God's going to take it away from them. God's going to take away all the abundance they have. All the great city and nice city. It's in Matthew 22. He was angry. What is the first thing? He destroyed the city. Because he knows that right now, the way the cities are, the way the city are with all kinds of internet and technology, it's ruining people's life. It's keeping people from praying, being in the Word, and repenting. They want everything digital. But digital cannot go into their heart. Because the Spirit of God is not digital. The Spirit of God is a person, which is the person of Jesus Christ, who wants to have union and communion with people. My brother and sister, not with digital. Digital is fake. Digital is something that's supposed to keep you informed. But it's also disinform you, because it doesn't bring you closer to God. My brother and sister, it's not tangible. It's not where you can sit and talk to someone. We need to be careful with technology in the last days, my brother and sister, because it's keeping people from spending time with God, talking to God, listening to God, meditating on His Word. My brother and sister, hallelujah, that is terrible. Terrible. It's terrible. And then they blame God for everything bad that happened. No. God wants to hear you. And God wants you to listen to Him. Because He's speaking to people. And they're not listening because they don't have the time. They want to be on their cell phone, on their computer most of the time. Cell phone. And computer is stealing God's timing. That they're supposed to be spending when God help us. God help us because we all have computers and cell phones. But it's how you use it. If you're not using it to learn about God and do the work of God through it either, you need to be careful with it. It is dangerous. It's a weapon of the enemy in the last days, my brother and sister. The God is telling us to be careful. When I was reading Exodus 28, I want to go back there. Because this is the separation of God telling Moses how He separated Aaron and his son to be priests unto the Lord. Hallelujah. My brother and sister. Verse 2, and thou shalt make a holy garment for Aaron and thy brother, for the glory and for the beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all white-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. My brother and sister, a lot of people don't know what God, when they read the spirit of wisdom, what does that mean? You need to ask God for it. That they make Aaron garment to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Thank you, Lord. There's wisdom that comes from the Lord for anything that you want to do for the Lord that the Lord is calling you to do. That will help you to do it right as God wants you to do. My brother and sister, hallelujah. The high priest's garment was so special that the high priest, before he went into the Holy of Holies, he went into the holy place, before the Holy of Holies. It was a bigger room. In that room, you had other priests. They would set them in a chair in the middle of the place. They would put chair around the high priest. And the other priests that were there, they each had the God's commandment, and they will read it unto the priest while he was sitting in the middle of them. While they had dressed him to go into the Holy of Holies, which it was different than they, my brother and sister, his garment had a plague over him in the front that had the 12 stone out of the 12 tribe of Israel. Only the high priest had the stone, my brother and sister, before he went in there. The reason why the other priests kept reading the word and reading the word, each and one of them, to the priest, so what the word will cleanse his mind. The word will cleanse his thinking, his heart, his life. Jesus said, now ye are cleansed for the word that I have given unto you. He told his disciples. They were listening to God's word. He was listening to God's word as they kept quoting the word. When one will get tired, the other will keep reading the word, and he kept reading the word to the priest. So before he went into the presence of God, the priest will come in there. He will make an offering for his sin before the Lord to make sure body, soul, and spirit, he was cleansed before God. And the God, as he made an offer, he will kill the lamb for the sin of other people once a year when he went in there, and God would have received a sacrifice once God will forgive him. Because personal relationship with God has been established since the beginning. If he was not right with God, if he was not walking right with God, he had veil around his garment, he had a rope on his leg, my brother and sister. So when God, if he was not acceptable unto God, once he passed into the Holy of Holies, the bell would start ringing because he was not moving. God will kill him instantly. He will drop to the floor, and now he will contaminate the altar of the Lord. So the other priests will have to pull him by the rope out of there. Once they pull him into the holy place, then they will carry him out quickly and to bury him because he will contaminate the place. My brother and sister, because sin was following him, and God immediately, as he entered, kill him, because nothing unholy will enter into the presence of God. This is why God is calling us into repentance, because Jesus said, be thou holy, because I am holy. And without holiness, no one will see the Lord. No one can come into his presence. No one without holiness can enter into heaven. No one can enter before the presence of God. And if someone tries to, will be killed instantly. My brother and sister, no one without holy can he bring in the rapture to enter the place, because he will have to kill them. My brother and sister, it's been established this way from the beginning by God. So the holy priest, my brother and sister, the high priest, but have to be extremely careful. And it was the only thing that was asking him to do was for him to be in repentance. My brother and sister, what else did God ask him? I want to show you something specific here that God have asked of the high priest also, that he will have to do and have to live with it. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 40. Hallelujah. Of Exodus 28. For Aaron's son, thou shalt make a coat, and thou shalt make them girders. Hallelujah. And bone shalt thou make for them, for the glory and for the beauty. Okay? Thou shalt put them upon Aaron, his brother, and his son with him, and to anoint them and consecrate them, sanctify them, that they minister unto me in the priest's office. This priest's office, that Aaron and there has been called, you and I have been called unto too, my brother and sister. This is what the Apostle Peter says. Hallelujah, my brother and sister. And I want to take you, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, unto the letter of Peter, hallelujah, so you can see it this way and compare it to Aaron, because a lot of people think that this was under the law, brother Elby. This is not anymore. I'm going to share with you that holiness, sanctification, and consecration come from the law, and the Lord in the New Testament requires that of you and I. The same he required of Aaron and his son to be a priest unto him, it's the same holiness and righteousness today in the New Testament that he still requires you and I. And without holiness, no one will see the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are chosen generation, royal priesthood, to the first nation that God told them that they were a chosen generation. A chosen nation was to the nations of Israel, the church, comes out of the loin of Israel, my brother and sister, which is Messiah. I thank you, Jesus. So again, but ye are chosen generation, royal priesthood, hallelujah, holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should know, show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Notice how the same God saw Moses for Aaron and compared to us are still the same. Verse 42, thou should make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. My brother and sister, these breeches are the undergarment that we all wear today, that we should, when we wear these undergarment, my brother and sister, if we are in your house, you're supposed to have undergarment. Before you leave your house, women and men should have undergarment. They should cover themselves that there will be no nakedness shown from them, my brother and sister, no way and no how. From the Lord even unto the tithe, that hallelujah, tithe that they shall be rich. That no one, that's when no one can see no nakedness. If a woman is wearing a skirt, she should have undergarment. She should have protection under that skirt, that if she said, if she move anything, no one can see anything. The same thing is for men, my brother and sister. Everything should be covered in another word. And they should be upon Aaron, upon his son, that they come unto the tabernacle or the congregation, my brother and sister, or where they come near unto an altar to minister in the holy place, my brother and sister, that they bear no iniquity and died, my brother and sister. And Jesus talked about his nakedness, that we should be of repentance so our nakedness will not be shown. This is, my brother and sister, us being in the presence of God, which is anywhere we are, because the earth is of the Lord, we should be covered, hallelujah, spiritually being repenting, and physically also being in cover before the Lord. Our naked should not be shown spiritually and should not be shown physically neither, my brother and my sister. Hallelujah. No one should see our nakedness. And to be a statue forever unto him and his peace unto him. This will never change because this is the part of holiness. Where holiness means separation. Where holiness means our life is separated unto God. And we are under sword to please God with our work, with our life, with our thinking, with our behavior. When we speak, we should speak only the word that are of God. Any word that men speak it, the Bible said we will give an account unto the Lord. That means that every word that should come out of our mouth shall be pure, shall be holy, because every word that is impure is of the enemy, it's of Satan, it's of the fallen one. My brother and sister, this is what holiness is about. It's complete separation from our talk, our life, and everything, my brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So was the garment for the priest. They were chosen to be separated. They were chosen to us like to be in a holy nation. The apostle Peter explains it even more. In time past, ye were not people. Listen to this. Notice who God calls people. Because God doesn't call people anyone. His people, anyone. His people are the elected, selected one that he had chosen that are living for him. My brother and sister, who knows and understands that he has taken them out of darkness, Peter says, in time for you, hallelujah, in time you were not a people. And if you call someone today who is not serving God, who is not walking with Jesus, you're not a people anymore. What do you mean? You're telling me I'm not a person anymore? God doesn't see that person as a people anymore. My brother and sister, in time past, you were not a people. But now, the people of God, this is what he means. You are not a people if you're not walking with Christ, if you're not living for Christ, if you're not repenting daily and seeking consecration of him, you're not a people before him. You're part of the nation, but you're not a people. But if you're doing so, God, you're counted as a people of God now. I thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. But now, hallelujah, now the people of God who had not obtained mercy, okay, but now have obtained mercy. Before they had no mercy. In other words, in the world, no. But now they have obtained mercy. Praise you, Jesus. Obtain that mercy of Jesus Christ. You have obtained it because now he dwells in you. He is in you. And when God looks at you, he looks at his son. in you. My brother and sister, even the demons and devil and principality, when you are saved and you're walking with Christ and seeing your life, when they see you, they see the Lord. Why do you think they don't launch themselves up on your life right away? They're careful because they're seeing the Lord in you. Praise Jesus. They're being careful because the Lord can defeat them anytime. He defeats them on the cross. He can put them to shame of anytime. They see the Lord in you. My brother and sister, dear beloved, beseech you a stranger, a pilgrim, obtained from fleshly lust which warred against the soul. Yes. My brother and sister, every single human being has this struggle, the lust of the flesh. We submit the flesh to the Lord in prayer and fasting, but every single human has this problem. And Peter identified this. Having your way of life honest among the Gentiles, that where they speak against you as evildoers, they by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. When is the day of visitation? Revival. In the day of the revival, when we go out to preach to these people, they'll see they have seen the Lord in their life. Now in the day of visitation, yes, I want to hear what the Lord has to say, they'll say. When the Lord sends you to this family, if you have been walking right with the Lord and giving testimony, they are going to receive you. Especially those family that you are praying for. There is a day of visitation coming. My brother and sister, glorify God in the day of visitation. Oh, God send you, my brother. God send you, my sister. Welcome. Tell me, what is the Lord saying to my life? What is it he wants me to do now? And you say, well, this is a revival. You can see I'm walking in my glorified body. Yes, yes, my dear sister, yes. I thank God for what he did in your life. Oh, I hope he does something like that for me too. Tell me, what is it that I need to hear? Tell me. In the revival, now you're telling me about the goodness of the Lord, that now they can be saved, they can live for the Lord, and they will be willing to listen now. Yes, tell me. Yes, I want to hear. Yes, tell me. Tell me the good news. Tell me what the Lord is saying, my dear sister, my dear brother. Tell me. Praise you, Lord. What is it he wants me to do now? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whereas to the King of Supreme, unto governor, unto those who are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do well. Hallelujah. Now, this is submission where the Lord has sent us to them. They need to listen now. Because before, they didn't listen to the preacher and the people. But now, during their revival, it's such a special time. And they can see with their eyes the power of God over our lives now. Then now, there's no time for argument. It's only time for them to receive what the Lord has for them. My brother and sister, repent. And whatever it is that they need to go through, they will. If the Lord wants to take them home in the rapture right there, he will take them home. Because the rapture will be happening at that very moment. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. My son was sharing a dream with me earlier about this. My brother and sister, that it's close. Everything is close. It's about to happen. We know. And God is speaking to us, even through our own children. He's letting us know how close it is. My brother and sister, God has a plan. And God will use you and I in his plan to reach out to those other people who have not had the chance to receive the pure gospel. Because God has chosen you and I, and it's because there's a pure gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation to Jesus Christ, that we need to come and show them, present to them. Because what they watch on television has been false gospel, false teaching about money and becoming rich and all that. They have mislead so many people away, so many people cold, that a lot of people don't want to hear it. And God is sending us to those that are in the list to be going home for us to come and present the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. No more lies, no more deceit, the truth, that only to Christ we can be saved. And only giving our life and heart to him and surrounding ourselves to him, and seeking him wholeheartedly and living in holiness and righteousness for him is what he's calling us to do. There's nothing more pure than God having your heart, your life, You're serving him completely. My brothers and sisters, hallelujah, without any contamination and false teaching. Because Sister Celestia was sharing that when people listen to false teaching, there is a hole in their garment that is being formed while they're listening to false teaching. These holes in their garment are being formed, are being created. And demons, when they see those holes in these people's garment, they can come into the person's body to bring confusion and so much more through the hole of their garment, because they just are opening themselves to false teaching and lies. And as Jesus says to me, that when you sit there and listen to false teaching in YouTube or anywhere, you are responsible for sinning, for listening to the sinful words, because false teaching is sinful and it will make you sin. And many people think they can go on the internet and go online and sit there for hours every day and listen to false teaching. And the Lord is convicting them that the preacher is teaching them false teaching. And they still sit there and, well, she's quoting a verse or two of the Word of God, so why not listen? No. And the moment he quickens you that you're listening to false teaching, you change it. You don't listen to it anymore, because he's letting you know that's false teaching. My brother and sister. And Sister Celeste, the Lord gave her a list of false teachers in America where they're just teaching so much false teaching on people, misleading so many people away from God. She names them, my brother and sister. She's named them by names. God is calling people by name now, false preachers on TVN, and they start. That are misleading his children. People that turn on those channels every day, and their hole in their garments are getting bigger every day for the false teaching. And demons are coming into the light, confusing them. Now the Lord in the revival is sending us to these people. But we cannot have a false teaching to bring to them, to bring them more confusion. No, we're bringing in the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. That they need to repent now daily and give their life to him. Submit their will to his will. Seek the will of God and not your own anymore. Marvelous. Repent pride, doubt, and unbelief every day. And stay away from all these false teachings of prosperity and so much more. That's been on the United States television and the world television so much every day. Creating a hole in people's garment, where demons can come and dwell in those holes in their lives, and they don't even know. And then they're confused, and they don't even know. They're confused. They don't know which way is up. They don't know if they're going to be a rapture or not. They have stopped believing in the rapture. They have stopped believing in the Lord because of the false teaching. Demon, hallelujah. Doctrines of devil is what they're receiving. Doctrines of demon is what they're receiving, my brother and sister. And they're wondering why they're so confused. They're wondering, where is the Lord? Why is the Lord not in their life anymore like he used to? My brother and sister, it's because the people that are receiving, at one time the Lord called them, but they have turned their back on God for money. My brother and sister, the God of this earth is money. That's what they turn their heart for. Money, and not for the Lord. Misleading people into the lies of the evil one. My brother and sister, we're living in such a difficult time. Hallelujah. Peter said, for so is the word of God, that we're well-doing, you may out to put the silence, the ignorance of foolish men. The Bible calls them foolish men. As free, not using your livery as a cloak for maliciousness, but as the servant of God, honor all men, love thy brothers, earth. Fear God, honor the king. Amen. Praise the Lord. All this has been put away by the ideology of men, the political of men, my brother and sister. Everything has been put away and has led people, hallelujah, to become so prideful. Pride is what has been empowered in the last days. Instead of humility being the higher like in heaven, pride has been putting higher, my brother and sister, in the place of humility. And this brings so much confusion, because God, the prideful, He looks far away. The prideful is not full of the Spirit of God. It's full of pride. The humble, he shares his spirit with the humble. But if people are not there, are in pride, then they don't have the Spirit of God as they should. And they wonder, how come? How come? Because we need to humble ourselves every day before him. My brother and sister, not our will. His will be done. Hallelujah. We need to humble. He shares his spirit with the humble. He will fill our presence. He will fill our life with his spirit when we humble ourselves. My brother and sister, pride and humility cannot be in a vessel at the same time. It's either one or the other. The person is full of pride, humility is not there. Then the presence of God is not there. The person is asking themselves, why? How come? What is going on? Why do I feel this way? Because God is calling us for us to humble ourselves. Humility in heaven is the highest. My brother and sister, pride is the lowest in hell, the darkness. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Solomon said that with humility and the fear of the Lord come riches and honor and life. Hallelujah. Life comes with humility. My brother and sister, Jesus came to give us abundant life, but that abundant life is in humility, not in pride. My brother and sister, it's through humility that we receive life. But through pride, then we don't receive life, abundant life, like Jesus promised. He came that they may have life. They have abundant life, my brother and sister. But it's through humility, right there, Proverbs 22:4. With humility and the fear of the Lord come riches and honor. And life. Life. It's through humility. So that means we need to humble ourselves in order to receive life, my brother and sister. The fear of the Lord, the instruction of wisdom before honor and humility. Praise the Lord. Before destruction of the heart, a man is haughty before honor and humility. Praise the Lord. Humility is what's recommended. Hallelujah. Colossians 2:23. These things have in thee show of wisdom and will worship in humility and neglecting of the body, but are gnawing honor against the satisfying of the flesh. Amen. So when the person don't work in humility, he says that they're satisfying the flesh. Pride, that's what it does. Pride makes you feel good. It's of the flesh. But humility is the other way. It makes the spirit feel good. Pride makes the flesh feel good. Humility makes the spirit feel good. Because then you get filled with the Spirit of God and humility. And the Lord gives you life, my brother and sister. And then, like wise and younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Ye and all be subjected one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and give grace to the humble, my brother and sister. And grace comes from our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says. So in order to receive more of Christ, more of the Lord, we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves through fasting, committing our life to him. He fills us more with grace. He fills us more with life. He fills our life more with himself. And our spirit rejoicing him. Our flesh will be kind of in submission because the flesh gets submitted to him, to the spirit. My brothers and sisters, if you empower your flesh with pride, your flesh wants to be over your spirit, who needs to be humble, my brothers and sisters. So he wants to share. He shared his spirit, says Isaiah, with the humble. Humility, when we humble ourselves, God will fill us with his presence. I thank you, Lord. This is why he wants us humble before him, so he can fill us with his spirit. He can fill us with his presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is what he wants for our life in the last days. Thank you, Lord. James 4:10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Well, this lift up is a type of a departure, rapture. Amen. Because it's prophetically. Hallelujah. Lifting you up is when you have humbled yourself, he'll lift you up. He'll make you great. He'll use you. He'll give you a great name. But also, yes, he will lift you up in the rapture. The humble in spirit are the one coming home with Christ. My brother and sister, the hardy of heart, the prideful, cannot come home in the rapture because they have not humbled themselves. But if you humble yourself, then he will lift you up. You're going home to being with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. God has taught us so much about humility in his word. There's so many proverbs about humility, my brother and sister, that he wants us to learn from it. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 6:3, do this now, my son. Deliver thyself when thou hast come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself that thou should prevail with thy friend. And this applies even to your friend. When you humble yourself before God and you live a humble life, when you offend someone, you'll say, I'm sorry. And that person will be touched to forgive you. A lot of people wonder, why when they say I'm sorry to certain people, they don't forgive them? If it's done in humility, God will touch the person's heart and will that person will forgive you. Person will turn around and say, that's okay, I forgive you. Hallelujah. Again, Proverbs 69. It's better to be a humble, hallelujah, humble spirit with lawfully than a divided spoil with the proud. A lot of people want to have a lot of money, have great fortune, great riches, my brother and sister. But the Bible tells you what's better for you, which you want to look for the things that are better for you. It is better to be a humble with the spirit and lovely than to divide the spoil with the proud. You are going to meet a lot of people. God may put riches into your hand, into your life. But even though, that's when you need to humble yourself even more and be careful with pride. Because people with pride can fall into, people with money can fall into pride easily, into the hand of pride, and be caught up becoming prideful. Because they say, look what I become, look what I did. And pride was settled into the heart, into the life. And then their whole life becomes a mess, my brother and sister. Because they, you cannot be happy with pride. Actually, people that are seeking for joy, happiness, are the people that have pride in them. People that are humble know that their joy and happiness come from the Lord, the maker of their nerve, my brother and sister. The people that are proud are the one always looking for joy, looking to be happy. They feel so unhappy. They feel so empty because that's how pride will make you feel. But if you cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I repent of this pride. I'm going to fast and pray, Lord, for you to remove this pride from my heart, my body, my soul, and my spirit, Lord. I want to have no pride, Jesus. Break this pride of my life. Take it out, Lord Jesus. I don't want to have it anymore. I humble myself before thy feet, and please remove all pride from my life, Jesus. If you pray for the Lord to remove pride out of you, the Lord will begin to work in you and will help you. Tell the Lord you want to be humble. You want to serve him with a humble spirit, and the Lord will help you, my brother and sister, because once the Lord has humbled you, you will feel his presence, his joy. You feel yourself so filled of the Lord, so joyful. You know that you don't need nothing else but the Lord. And whatever the Lord gives you after that, you use it for his glory. You seek to stay humble with the Lord. Because humility, when you are humble, you are full of joy in the presence of the Lord. You're full of so much. You don't have this emptiness like other people have in pride. When you feel empty, that's pride. That means pride has filled your heart. And because pride is not supposed to be in you, it doesn't make you happy. Pride doesn't make anybody happy. Even though they was not happy with pride. The demons are not happy with pride. They're miserable. Pride doesn't make anybody happy. Because pride makes you believe something that you're not. You are not. But humility keeps you humble before the Lord. And he is your daily priority every single day. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I want to pray you the last, hallelujah, prophecy. Praise you, Lord, from Sister Barbara. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus is coming, my brother and sister. Continue to humble yourself before him and seek him and to be ready for his coming. Because he promised us he will come. And he's not a man that he will lie, nor the son of man that will he repent. Whatever he promised, he fulfilled. He is a faithful God. Listen to the latest prophecy.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me once again on my YouTube channel. Today is Canada Day, July the 1st of 2022. I'd like to share another prophetic word with you today that I hope will encourage you and bless you as you continue to serve the Lord. Those who know the Lord know that the Lord God is a miracle-working God. When Jesus walked the earth, he performed many miracles. He healed the sick and even raised the dead. He cast out demons and set the captives free. And if we are familiar with God's word, we know that this ministry of Christ was given to us as believers. The Bible tells us that we would do the works that Jesus did, and even greater works. And these have been done by followers of the Lord throughout history. But the Lord would want to encourage us today that he is pouring out his Spirit in an unprecedented manner, and the result of that would be signs, wonders, and miracles, demonstrations of his power in our midst. And the purpose of these miracles is to point to Jesus Christ, to bring glory to him, and to bring deliverance to a people who have been bound up. The word I'd like to share with you today is titled, Liberty is Coming. I hope it will bless you as you listen today. I'll begin by reading scripture. Luke 10, verse 19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. These are words spoken by Jesus, telling those who believed in him that they would have power over every enemy in their lives. Mark 16, verses 17 through 18. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. This scripture verse as well speaks of the power that God has given to those who believe, the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through them to cast out demons and to heal the sick, to perform miracles in the name of Jesus. I'll begin reading this word. Destined, you are destined for the throne, says the Lord. I have endowed you with everything you need to reign with your king. I have given you blessings untold. I have given you an abundance of my good gifts. I have imparted to you the power of my spirit to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to raise the dead. So walk in it, substantiate it, make it real in your life. Come out from the futility of the natural mind's thinking and demonstrate the power of God to raise up those who are bent low. I have given you the ministry of reconciliation, says the Lord. I have given you the ability to bring the captives out of bondage, to open the eyes of the blind. I have given you the power to raise the dead. It is my resurrection power that works in and through you to accomplish the works of Christ. It is the power of my spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and it is the same power that works in you to perform my will. So, with sword in hand, take the land. I am releasing my prophets into the earth to prophesy life to dry bones. Prophesy to the people, and as you do, they shall be raised to life, for the power of my word shall go forth to bring life. This is the calling, to call into being those things that are not. I have trained you, I have equipped you, and you are ready for the task, says the Lord. Watch to see how I place you, how I position you, how I move you into such a place of authority that nothing is able to stand against it. I have seen the struggle, the dependency, the intimidation. I have witnessed the attacks of the enemy to stop the flow of my spirit, to resist the ministry. But today is the day when you shall move forward, and no demon in hell will be able to cause you to trip or stumble, says the Lord. I have put my guardian angels round about you. I have instructed them to hold you up, to gird you up. You will go in such authority that demonstrations of my power will accompany you. Signs and wonders will be displayed in your midst. I have not yet released such power in the earth, but this is the day when it shall be released. The blind shall see, the lame shall walk, the frightened shall be brought out of confusion, made whole, and sent out to do battle. They shall be raised up as mighty warriors in the army of God. You will see it. You will see miracle after miracle, signs and wonders, healings and salvations will be commonplace, says the Lord. For I have reserved this ministry for this time. So be ready and expectant to see miracles. Be ready to see households raised up in the power of my spirit, says the Lord. Chains will fall off, and they shall be released into liberty. This is the day when you shall see the answers to your prayers. Be ready to experience the presence of God so fully, to such an extent, that every chain is broken. Every pronouncement of judgment, every curse, every vile thing that has been able to keep your household bound will be lifted off. Liberty is coming. Full liberty in the Spirit, an explosion into the fullness of the Spirit, for I am about to pour my Spirit out in unprecedented manner. Your eyes shall be opened. You shall rejoice in the wonderful work I do. You shall come out of complacency and dance and sing before your Lord. Joy unspeakable is about to hit your household. I have ordered it. It shall come full force, says the Lord. I have trumpeted it forth in the realm of the Spirit, and it shall come forth in the natural. Hold on to every promise made to you, for it is about to come to pass. Every word spoken to you regarding the work of the ministry shall come into fulfillment. Every promise regarding your household shall come forth, for I have ordained it. Miracle after miracle shall take place in your midst. Your children shall be transformed right before your eyes. They shall be taken out of darkness and brought into the light of Christ and resurrection life in the Spirit, says the Lord. Watch to see how I do it, how I raise the dead, how I transform a lowly vessel into a vessel of honor. You will see the change. It will be so remarkable, you will stand in awe. Many are limited in scope, in understanding. Many cannot see my power at work. but I am demonstrating my power in this day in such a way that all will marvel at the transformation that takes place. All will stand in awe. They will have no explanation for what transpires. It will be recognized as a miracle. In this word today, the Lord is speaking about miracles that are about to take place as he releases an unprecedented flow of his Spirit. He speaks of whole households being transformed by the power of his Spirit, of chains being broken, of deliverance from bondage. The Lord speaks of his people rising up and moving forward in the giftings, in signs, wonders, and miracles, and sending them out in great authority. The Lord speaks of a great explosion into the fullness of his Spirit as he fulfills the promises he has given his people. Liberty is coming. The Lord is moving in the earth, and he is ready to demonstrate his power in our midst. Let's be expectant and anticipate the great things that are ahead. I hope this word has encouraged you today, that the Lord's word is true, that he is coming to deliver his people and to demonstrate his power in the earth. Thank you for listening today. Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you again the next time. Bye for now.
Our careful, and I mean careful, attention to building and sustaining the liberal international world order with the United States and Europe at its core was the bedrock of the success the world enjoyed in the second half of the 20th century.
What do you say to those families who say, listen, we can't afford to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years. This is just not sustainable.
Well, what you heard from the president today was a clear articulation of the stakes. This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm.
The liberal world order, and we have to stand firm.
Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come.
Greetings in the most perfect, exalted, lovely name, both in heaven and in earth, the name that is above all names, the name of our Lord and our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And welcome to another End Times for the Believers Bible Prophecy Update. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. There is wisdom in those words, fundamental to our understanding. And God wants his people to know there are no such things as coincidences in the economy of God. Once again, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. This past week, while in prayer, I did what I always do. I asked God to give me a fresh sense of those for whom he would have me to pray, his people. And as he does that, it better enables me to pray just not out of rote, but with a sense of compassion and love. and understanding. And this week, as I ask the Lord, Lord, help me to appreciate what it is that your people are going through so that I might be an effective prayer warrior and intercessor. And I sense what I think most would consider a keen sense of the obvious, but I felt in my heart the depth of the anguish of many of God's loving, precious children, a tiredness, a weariness, almost to the degree of despair. And it is to no surprise, given the progressive escalation of wickedness and evil, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to his son in the faith, Timothy, chapter 3, verse 13, 2 Timothy, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. He was speaking of what to be expected in the last days. I suppose to get a more comprehensive view and understanding of what we are witnessing today, one would do well to look at the first chapter of Romans. But before we continue, I'm going to ask that you would earnestly bow your heart and pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of your people. You know everything. You know our thoughts afar off. Each and every one of us is individual to you. You do not look at us in a collective sense. You look at us as your individual sons and daughters. And I am certain, Lord, that you are seeing even now those whose hearts need a word of encouragement. You are observing even now the groanings and the yearnings and the sense of tiredness that is being experienced in the hearts of many of your children, some of whom will be listening to this program. And so, Lord, in agreement with my brothers and sisters, I ask you, please anoint the words that I will be speaking today, and equally important, anoint the hearts of your children that they might receive that word which is able to break all barriers, is able to dispel fear, is able to give joy where there is sorrow, beauty for ashes. Lord, you know what your word can do. And we pray that you will do what is in your heart for us to do this day through this particular message at this particular juncture in church history. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Everywhere we look, it doesn't matter what segment of society, we are seeing evil, wickedness, violence, and it's not letting up at all. We see the greed of a group of greedy, hungry oligarchs, if you will, whose wealth is already so significant, they would not be able to spend it all in a lifetime. They have amassed so much of this world's wealth, they are considered the 1%. And then there are those that are the 1% of the 1%. And yet, it isn't enough for them. They want more and more. And they don't care what they have to do to obtain it. They want it all. And they have no problem in breaking hearts in order to obtain it. They say it is in the guise of sustainable development that they issue one policy after the other. But in reality, they are stripping the world of its economy and those in our very own country. The middle class is becoming virtually non-existent. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8 tells us of a certain individual who was experiencing in his day what I believe we are experiencing today. It is a reference to the man Lot. And it says in 2 Peter 2, verse 8, "For that righteous man, Lot, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." The word vexed there literally means tortured. His heart was being tortured day after day, week after week, month after month, as he observed the inequities, as he observed the people flaunting the very perversions that they knew were an offense to the holy God who created them. Romans 1 verse 32, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do they do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." They flaunted then, and they flaunt today their wickedness in their celebrations of gay and lesbian and transgender lifestyles. We're witnessing almost on a weekly basis someone who's conducting a parade. Last week, a parade of naked men, drag queens entertaining children, and the list goes on. A multiple of layers in society, and they are all becoming progressively darker and darker and darker. All the while, God's people are being vexed in their hearts. And so my prayer this week was, Lord, please help me to receive from you a word that will minister grace to the hearts of these you love, whose hearts are wearied and tired, discouraged, some of whom can hardly even imagine they'll have enough strength to go on until the end. They're sensing gloominess and despair. And surely, Lord, there must be a word that I can speak that would touch the hearts of some of your people and bring a sense of relief to help to dissipate the grief and the despairing and the despondency. And so my prayer, being more specific, was this: timeline, Lord. And I said pretty much the following words: I know it would be out of order for me to ask you the day and or the hour of the great escape. But Lord, what about a fresh perspective of the prophetic timeline? How long, O Lord? David said it this way, Psalm 6 and verse 3, "My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long?" And again in Psalm 35 and verse 17, "Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destruction, my darling from the lions." And even more specific, Psalm 94 and verse 3, "Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph?" I suppose my question to the Lord, how long, was in good company. And I realized in my heart that I was somewhat in asking God to indulge upon my prayer request and just thinking of his majesty and his glory, and that I really partially struggled to ask that question. But I asked the question not for myself, but for those of you who the Lord loves and would desire to communicate encouragement. And so while having that sense of empathy upon my heart and praying and sensing somewhat of the burden of God's people, including my own to some degree as well, and while contemplating these things, I believe the Lord gave me a word in season, if you will, a fresh sense of perspective, a prophetic timeline. Again, knowing that things are getting uglier and uglier. The Lord knows these things, and yet I found myself reminding him, Lord, your people, they're struggling. They're on fixed incomes. And some of them, many of them, are wondering if they're going to have enough to be able to meet their very basic necessities. The cost of food is skyrocketing. And add to that, talk about shortages, and we're beginning to see them. And the reality is, and telling the Lord this, right? We're looking at famine right in the face. We are seeing inevitable shortages. Fuel costs, Lord. How your people are wondering, are they going to be able to manage to pay for enough fuel to go to work back and forth? And what about education? Many parents raising their children, wondering if they're even going to be able to justify putting their children in a system that is teaching things that are so contrary to the Word of God. Questions such as civil war. Lord, is there going to be a civil war in this country? There's a lot of chatter going on right now, and understandably so. And what's up with these FEMA camps, Lord? What's up with these strange places? And what about the grid? Discussion and conversations underway about the possibility of cybersecurity taking down the grids. What about that, Lord?
In February of 2021, an Arctic blast froze 40% of Texas's electric grid. Millions of homes and businesses were left without power. The outages lasted only days, and yet more than 100 people died. Back in 2012, then-Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta warned a room full of business leaders about the scope of a true attack on the U.S. grid.
The collective result of these kinds of attacks could be a cyber Pearl Harbor, an attack that would cause physical destruction and the loss of life, an attack that would paralyze and shock the nation and create a new profound sense of vulnerability.
Weiss says the question is not if this kind of attack will happen, but rather, will we even know it was a cyber attack?
What a sophisticated attacker will do, and Russia and China, even Iran and North Korea now fit in this, they will make a cyber attack look like an equipment malfunction.
It's actually 3,000 different companies, both public and private sector, that own or operate little pieces of the electric grid.
Mike Mabee is an Iraq war vet, a former cop, and a self-taught grid security expert. By day, he works for the government. In his spare time, he uncovers public information electric utilities would rather not see the light of day and publishes them on a website called Grid Security Now. He is both fascinated and horrified by the grid.
I think everybody needs to be as alarmed as I am. We've had disasters in the past, but they've generally always been regional in scale. What we've never had is a national scale blackout, which is completely possible under some known threats such as the cyber threat, the physical security threat, or even extreme weather. And the U.S. public is completely unprepared to survive without the electric grid for any period of time whatsoever.
And what about those thoughts that many are struggling with, that perhaps soon a knock upon the door and certain representatives of the government might desire to force the prescribed treatments that you put in the arm, when in reality more data is coming to surface today now after a period of 2 years where there's no longer the jury is out. There is no justifiable good, and yet it is detrimental beyond what most are willing to admit. That is not to say that God is not able to remedy. He knows his own, and he is able to sustain his own. And Lord, what about the freedoms? The freedom to speak, the freedom to share the gospel. Lord, how are we going to tell others about holiness and righteousness and sanctification and your return? They'll accuse us of hate speech. They'll label us as racist, or if you're white, a white supremacist. What about this pandemic, Lord? What about the fact that it would appear that soon the doors of our homes are going to be forced shut again? And the thoughts, these kinds of thoughts are understandable in light of what has taken place in the past 2 years. The Lord Jesus said this. He said, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." That's in Matthew 24 and verse 12. Because of the abounding of iniquity, he said, the love of many, that word love is agape, God's love, the love of many shall wax cold. Now that is a specific passage that is referenced directly for the 7-year tribulation. But the principle applies. The growing wickedness and evil and violence just begins to wear one's heart and emotions down. And soon many are being held by the very grip of fear itself. So in a few minutes, I am going to share with you, or should I say the next few minutes, what I believe the Lord gave my heart in response to these heartfelt questions of what if and what about, Lord, in the struggles of your people. And I believe God gave me, on a personal level, a good word. He brought me back almost as if there was an internal vision. This did not happen too many times before in my life, but I experienced this before. Almost as if a film, a movie was going on in the inside of me, and I found myself going back some 3,500 plus years at a time when a significant event took place, one that has foreshadowings of today. He brought me to the place where Moses and the children of Israel were facing an impossible situation, the Exodus. And I thought of Isaiah 46, verse 9. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure." And I begin to realize and have a fresh sense in my heart of the similarities between the children of Israel back that period of time and what we are experiencing today. The similarities are actually striking. What did the Lord say? What was the word of the Lord to them? Now, keep in mind, my heart's desire was, Lord, would it be possible to give a fresh perspective of the prophetic timeline as to where we are at? And what took place at that moment? The word of the Lord through Moses, God told them, he said, "Stand back and behold the salvation of the Lord." Stand back. He didn't say, wait a little while and we're going to work this thing out. He said, stand back and behold the salvation of the Lord. Now, can I support that thesis based upon New Testament scripture? That indeed God would say, give us a word that tells us stand back and get ready to behold? The answer is an emphatic yes. The Lord Jesus said, for example, in Luke chapter 21, verse 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And so my sense was in that moment of prayer, Lord, that's where we're at, isn't it? We are at that moment where we are standing back and beholding. But the difference is, unlike the children of Israel who were looking forward at an impossible situation, the Red Sea, we are commanded to look up. Is it that God was simply reminding me and encouraging my heart so that I might remind each of you and encourage your hearts? We are at the end. We are at that point of time, looking back for the children of Israel when they were about to enjoy the promises of God that lingered on for some 400 years. They were about to witness it in real time. And I believe the Lord is speaking to us on the same vein. Behind them, many different melodies were leveled upon the Egyptians and Pharaoh. And they dealt with pestilence, and they dealt with death, and they dealt with all different types of melodies. And behind us right now, we are seeing similar melodies that have occurred and emerged in our society. Suddenly, the majestic, all-powerful, majestic word of God was spoken to the sea to part. And the sea parted, and the walls of the water were held by the power and the strength of the Lord. And they went through on dry ground. And so it is that we are at a point when suddenly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the word of the Lord is going to be spoken, and that word is going to pierce the eastern skies, and they're going to open, and the Lord is going to say to us, come up hither. We are there. Too much has happened. Too much by way of Bible prophecy. And we are now looking almost face to face with the events that are described for Daniel's 70th week. And I trust that each of you who listens to me understands there is no debate. I know some would like to say so, and I do not judge them. But there is no place for the people of God living in the world during Daniel's 70th week. There is coming a point where the word of the Lord is going to say, come up hither, and we will make our great escape. And there was something else that was very noteworthy that took place at that time when God spoke his word and the seas parted. And it was this: simultaneously, the judgment of God fell upon Pharaoh and the Egyptian soldiers. Not only did the sea open and the people of God went into their new home, the land flowing with milk and honey, but simultaneously the very judgment of God fell upon Pharaoh and those Egyptian soldiers that perpetrated such brutality, such suffering, physical, such disregard for their humanity, that the judgment of God came swiftly upon them. And so the horse and the rider, they were swallowed up in the sea. God judged them for the inflictions of suffering and murder and torture upon the apple of his eye. the children, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Concurrent with the deliverance came the judgments. And I thought on these things. And at the same time, I started thinking about our once great nation, the United States of America. And almost simultaneously, I could not help but to think about Babylon, and specifically the daughter of Babylon. And I thought about what may very well transpire at the time when we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I know that there have been some, and it's on record, you can see it in the social media, that have had dreams and visions and of a time when the church would be taken out of the world and that almost simultaneously judgment would fall upon the earth. And some specifically pointed to, in their vision, their dreams, New York City itself. And so I thought to myself in the moment of this here experience with God, Lord, as we are taken out, is the daughter of Babylon, which I truly believe is sadly the United States of America. There's no explanation why it is that the USA is not found in Scripture in these last days. All the other players are in place except the USA.
It houses the whore of Babylon. It reigns over the kings of the earth. And unfortunately for every living American, it is Mystery Babylon. This is what the prophets say about the great enemy of Babylon. For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, and the weapons of his indignation, to destroy the whole land. Remember which country the prophet said was from the north? The same country that Ezekiel said will lead a great alliance of nations to the borders of Israel? If war happens, the United States must be the first target. That is why the prophets foretell that at the start of this war, Russia will unexpectedly use a very special weapon, the weapon of indignation, against the whole territory of the U.S., a weapon like which the world has never seen. The Holy Book shows how Babylon will feel the fury of this terrible weapon. This weapon will hit our entire country and all our defenses will be in vain. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet the spoilers come unto her. This weapon paralyzes our military and leaves it almost defenseless. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. Their might hath failed. The broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. She hath given her hand. Her foundations are fallen. Her walls are thrown down, because the spoiler is come upon her, even upon Babylon. And her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken. And after the attack, Babylon is left silent and in darkness. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms.
And I thought of Jeremiah, chapters 50 and 51. And one of the thoughts I had on my heart and my mind was the references that Jeremiah made prophetically when he spoke of the initiative of God's judgment against Babylon. And he spoke about the flying arrows, which I personally believe speak to us today of smart missiles. In Jeremiah 50 and verse 9, for lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as of a mighty expert man, and none shall return in vain. Is that not a description of smart missiles? In 50 and verse 14 of Jeremiah, put yourselves in array against Babylon. round about, all ye that bend the bow, shoot at her, spear no arrows, for she hath sinned against the Lord. And again in Jeremiah 51 and verse 11, make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes for his devices, the spirit of the kings of the Medes against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord and the vengeance of his temple. And so God was speaking through his prophet Jeremiah about a future day that would come when he would judge Babylon, the future Babylon, the day of the vengeance of God. And I thought, could it be, Lord, that because of our treatments of your people specifically, that these arrows shall finally be launched and this nation will no longer exist as we know it? Could it be that what we see in Exodus 14 and 15, when the children of Israel were set free and simultaneously the judgment of God upon Pharaoh in Egypt, which represents the world, could the same happen once again? Remembering the former things that God speaks to us in the future based upon former things. As I speak, this current administration is preparing on a visit to the Middle East. And the focal point of this visit to the Middle East will not be to meet with our number one allies, Israel, but rather to meet with the Palestinians to discuss the possibility of splitting Jerusalem and setting up a consulate or an embassy for the Palestinians in Jerusalem. What we know for certain is this, that this administration, which is but an expression of the former administration under Barack Obama, was the most anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic administration, bar none other. And what do we see in the Word of God? In Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 9, and it shall come to pass in that day, speaking of the last days, that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. All the nations, he said, I will destroy that come against Jerusalem. And so we have it in what I would consider compendium form, a summary of what may very well represent a reasonable prophetic timeline. And we are at the point where soon the end begins. When the four horse riders at the gates, the horse riders of the apocalypse, at their gate are loosed, beginning with the rider on the white horse, whose initiative is for peace, riding on a white horse. Could it be that that peace comes as a result of the judgment of God upon the world? And so now they are ready to refortify the agreement. Why? Because a nation or nations, but specifically the United States, sought to divide Jerusalem. There isn't much to be said about that. So the Lord said, in Exodus chapter 14, he told them, hold your peace. Stand back, behold the salvation of the Lord. And in verse 14 of Exodus chapter 14, he said, hold your peace. Could it be that we are ready to witness the great escape of the bride of Christ, while simultaneously the judgment of a holy, holy, holy God falls upon the nation, which is clearly the nation that has been spearheading all the immoral decadence and torture and theft and murder and immorality and abortion and every evil thing that we might imagine. Somehow this nation has perpetrated and sent around the world, including drugs and pharmakeia. So I come to an interesting point in closing today's message. It has to do with what God spoke to my heart 2 days before this sense of where we are at in the economy of God, or a fresh sense perspective of the prophetic timeline. 2 days before, I knew I was going to share what I am about to share with you. And it touched my heart, and I wept, and I knew this is the word of the Lord to be sharing this coming week in light of all these things. Now, I want to encourage you to guard your mind and your heart right now as I bring this word to you. Do not allow its familiarity to cause you to become closed-minded. But to the contrary, the word that I am about to share with you, if it will be received in your heart, nothing else matters. Nothing else is really significant if the truth which I am about to share is received and embraced in your heart and my heart by faith. It represents a fundamental principle that will allow us to hold our peace, to keep our peace, to keep that which the Lord Jesus gave his life for, so that we might have peace. Not the kind of peace that the world gives. This is a peace which passes all understanding, and it is clearly underscored by the passages that I am about to read from the Sermon on the Mount. And my earnest prayer is, oh Lord, take these words right now and burn them in the hearts of the people that you love here. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not worth much more than they? Or are ye not much better than they? These are the words written in red from the Lord Jesus himself. He is giving to his disciples and to us and to you today irrefutable, unanswerable logic. Here he brings up the principle of the laws of the lesser and the greater. He goes on to say, verse 27 of Matthew chapter 6, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thoughts for raiment or clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? That is so powerful and so pertinent to the day in which we live, while others are rushing frantically to prepare for clearly major events. And I'm not disallowing the fact that food shortages and all other supplies are coming to a point where they'll not be available anymore, at least in the way we've been accustomed to all of our lives. And it is wise that as much as we are able to set aside something, but how many can hardly even make ends meet today, let alone to have enough to put aside that will last for months or even years on end. This is the true prepping. This is the preparation of the heart. And the preparation comes from the Holy Spirit taking this fundamental truth that God's love for us is far greater than his love for sparrows. His motivation to care for us and to clothe us is far greater than his incentive to clothe the lilies of the valley. And he knows that we have need of these things. And then he says, states in the 30th verse at the end, O ye of little faith. And I suppose the issue here is that of faith. The Lord is trying to instill in them the wisdom of logic. If God cares for the lesser the way he does, how much more so shall he care for that which is far more important? The word says, for if God spared not his own son, but gave him up for us freely, how shall he not give us all things? Again, O ye of little faith. It reminds me of two boat trips that the apostles of our Lord Jesus had the blessing, the privilege of participating in. Two separate voyages. You talk about a three-hour cruise. And I'll read one of the several segments that deals with one of those boat rides from Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. And when he was entered into a ship, that is the Lord Jesus, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. There's that sea again. Insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. Verse 26, and he saith unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Now think about the context. Their ship was about to sink, so it seemed. They were being tossed about by the raging sea and waves and water was filling the ship. And they thought for certain they had come to the end. And so they cried out to the Lord, Lord, we're about to sink. And what does the Lord say? Oh, I can understand why you feel that way. I see. Things are pretty rough out here. I would feel the same way if I were you. But I'm God, so I don't feel the same way. But I appreciate why you are so fearful. Could you imagine that? He simply said, why are you so fearful? I opened up today's update by talking about the various different things that are going on in society and the impact these things are having upon many hearts and minds and the questions that are arising in the hearts. Questions that pretty much say, what about this? How am I going to do this? What about that? And the Lord told us, why are you so fearful? He goes on to say in the Sermon on the Mount, verse 31, therefore, take no thoughts, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things. You knew, Lord? You know we need all these things? Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And one final statement he repeats again over and over and over. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow. Don't worry, he said. God loves you, and he knows what things you need. And his promise is that he will give you the things you need. For, he says, the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, is the Lord telling us we are not to be concerned about the things we see before us? No. They should be reasons for us to respond in various different ways, including being sympathetic and compassionate towards those around us who may not have this hope. It's hard for me to imagine how it is for an individual who understands what's going on right now, who has been awakened, and not to have a relationship with the Lord. It's got to be horrifying, terrifying. And we might know and take these things to heart and be praying, but they have no right to steal from us, to choke the very peace of God in us. The Lord said he has a perfect love for us, and that perfect love casts out all fear. And so I close with this very message of the laws of the lesser and the greater. For if God so clothed the lilies of the field, for if God so concerned himself for sparrows, shall he not give you all things? There's enough to be concerned about in today. We need not borrow the concerns of tomorrow and next week and next month. We need to heed the word of God. And so I close by inviting you to take just a moment and think about this. If God were literally in your room right now, and everywhere you went, he was there, and you could see him there, and you knew in your heart that doesn't matter what happens, here's the Lord. He's going to take care of everything. He's in the boat with me. So what if it's being tossed to and fro by waves? The Lord is here. If that were the case, and we saw the mighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob with us physically and literally, would we be troubled by the things that we see beyond the horizon? I think not. And yet, that is where we're at. I am with you, he said. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. What do you mean, Lord? What I mean is, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You will never, ever be alone. I am with you always, he said, even unto the end of the world where we are at right now. And so, yes, the world is being turned upside down. And there is a reason for that. For to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. And this is that time where we are before the Red Sea, and behind us Pharaoh is pursuing with his soldiers, wanting to take our lives. And the presence of the Lord, as is envisioned by Moses, is with us. May I say this word to you, and I say it to myself. O ye of little faith, why are you so fearful? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have no cause to fear. We have every reason to be hopeful, to be lifting up our heads, because this is the day that we are about to be taken out of this world, out of this Egypt, and to enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And now I want to speak for just a few moments here to those of you who do not know the Lord. You have not made your life before God right, and consequently, you ought to be fearful beyond measure. As a matter of fact, the things we are talking about that have to do with the cataclysmic events that are soon going to fall upon this world, they themselves, they are, in comparison to eternity without the Lord, they are a cakewalk. There are individuals right now today in pits in hell, and nobody else knows where they're at, and they are suffering, and their sufferings will never cease. And it will not be because of God's will. It was God's will that none perish, but that all come to repentance. It is a choice that sadly many, in fact the majority, make by rejecting the gift of God, which is His Son and the benefit of the atonement. If you are ready to make your heart and your life right with the Lord, I invite you to pray this prayer with me, and from your heart mean it. Dear Heavenly Father, say the words with me. I come to you this day, and I confess that I'm a sinner, and I ask you for your forgiveness. I pray this day that you would take the blood of Jesus and use it to wash away all my sins. And furthermore, Lord, I open my heart this day, and I invite you to come into my heart by your Holy Spirit and make me your child from this day forward. I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe he came to this world to die for my sins. And I also believe that according to the prophetic scriptures, on the third day, he rose from the grave and he lives even now. And so I put my trust no longer in myself. I put my trust in you through faith. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, hallelujah. And by the way, some of you, you know, we don't get any support from YouTube or Facebook. The only ones that listen to our programs are the ones that specifically go. We don't come up on any search bars, nothing like that. But if you will share the message, and when the time comes and we extend this altar call, and if somebody commits their life to the Lord because you took the time, not worried about what they would think of you because you sent this to them, you will have the benefit in eternity of leading, helping to lead a man or a woman or a child to a saving knowledge of Jesus. So please use this tool, this weekly presentation, and use it to evangelize. And now my daughter and I are about to sing a song, and I would ask that you would consider this song that we're about to sing in the light of the message we just talked about, where if God so loved us as he does, that he gave his son to such a excruciation of pain and shame and suffering in order that he might procure for us an eternal loving relationship. And if we can see how much he gave for us, perhaps we will understand what it means when we say, God, you spared not your own son, but gave him up for me freely. I don't think I'm going to worry about these things that I had no control over anymore. God bless you. until we meet again, and this time it may be in the clouds. Until then, Maranatha, Jesus, he is coming, and he is coming soon. Amen, amen, and amen.
Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let this truth of this word work in us. For those who believe, it will do what it was sent to do within their heart. Lord God, let it transform their lives to bring them in a closer relationship with you, Lord. And Lord God, let them be true lights in this world, that they will shine as they walk this earth in the truth of your word. Oh God, Father, in the name of Jesus, it is our prayer that you save the souls of many, oh God, that this word, by your grace, that is spreading to many, that they will be saved. Lord God, we pray for the sick, we pray for the situation in our nations, as we call upon you, Lord, to have mercy. Father, we thank you. Anoint me to bring this word with power, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We give God the glory in all things. And we must understand that when we say God, we come to God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel, God of Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And through Jesus Christ, we reach that God, that true and living God. There is only one. If we refuse him, and we reject what he's trying to come to us with, then we're rejecting the truth. And if you reject the truth and you embrace a lie, then you will stand in the place that is the place for sinners, to be rejected and thrown in hell. There is a heaven, there is a hell. Those who believe Jesus Christ and accept his teachings and live by his ways, they will be saved. Those who do not will not be saved. Saved, the word saved, is saved from going to hell. And that's, all of these messages will convey this to you. Because this is what God wants us to do, to bring you the truth that you might be saved. I want to take you to Hebrews 12 and in the 25th verse. Remember, we are dealing with rejecting